Well, Greg, we talked about sports gambling.
Yep.
I'm convinced, by the way, I'll get my family out of debt if they legalize sports gambling. Come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
I think I'd do very well. However,
who would be the losers? I mean, would it be like somebody like me who knows nothing about sports that would lose and therefore your win?
No. I wouldn't gamble against you. I'd gamble against whoever the house is. You gamble against the house. You don't gamble against another person.
But how does the house get their money if you're going to take it all?
When people lose.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you would essentially be beating all the schmucks out there I'm just going to have some fun.
I think what if it is legalized, I mean, let's be honest. What you want to do is you want to
play responsibly.
The money that you spend on lottery tickets and garbage like that.
Right.
You would spend on sports gambling. Like, you got an extra $30 at the end of the week. Maybe you're going to pick a game. That would be the one that made sense. Now, there are some people that say, okay, I'm done working. My job is now sports gambling.
Yeah, that's a surefire way to.
So I wonder if the state doesn't find a way to limit the amount of money.
Right.
How, you know, like, you can't see people making $1 million bets.
I don't know, man.
But who knows?
You just said you might be able to get your family out of debt by sports betting.
I could. I'll tell you, as confident as I am in my sports prognostication abilities,
yeah.
I don't think I don't think I'd even bet, you know. Me betting 1,000 would be something I would feel unsecure about doing. You know what I mean? Like, what's the most you would bet on something? Even if you 100% know, there's got to be a limit, right?
Yeah. When I've gone to, like, the boat, for instance,
yeah.
It's always, yeah, just take, like, you know, like you said, $30 cash. That's all you're gonna spend.
Yeah. And it's
if you come out ahead, awesome. If you don't, then
you're playing cards or roulette or something. Who knows where the ball's gonna drop? But when it comes to sports, you might have okay. I know this team is gonna win, but I'll tell you one thing about sports: you never know. Like the Cubs beat the White Sox. That is like 14-0, 12-0. Then they play in a third game. You might say, okay, I'm letting it ride. Put $5,000 on the Cubs. They lost the last game of that series. You know what I mean? They lost. So you never know when it comes to sports. So even as sure as I am about some things, I don't – like last night, Golden State Houston and the NBA. Man, I'll tell you what. I might have put $20 on Houston, but I'd have lost. As Golden State won it. Or if I'm a big Golden State person, I might have said, all right, I'll put so much money on Golden State, but I'm not going to put big money on them because you just never can tell when you get to this point. So
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It would be interesting to see what happens. All right, so now I'm going to talk about something I'm probably not supposed to, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Oh, no.
The most favorite job I ever had, my radio career. I keep waiting for this one to pass it. But the pinnacle of my radio career has been my time on WQLZ. I loved working at WQLZ. Seriously, every minute of it was a blast.
It's a fun station.
It was my favorite job, my favorite time, the most amount of money I made, the best people I worked with.
Listeners are almost as active as our listeners.
I loved my listeners. In fact, this is why I bring it up. A lot of those listeners who listen to me on WQLZ, they listen to us now on WMAY. And I thank all of you for doing it. The rest are people who maybe didn't know me from those years, and they, you know, they're longtime MAY listeners. This is specifically for the old QLZ listeners who now listen to us. QLZ is going to be celebrating the 25th birthday. Could you believe it? 25 years.
It's wild.
25 years, WQLZ has been on the air, and they are having a concert on August 30th, and they're celebrating their 25th birthday. And I got the code for people to get a discount on tickets.
Okay.
And for you people, I want to share it.
Oh, my gosh. All right? Me too. You sure you're authorized to do this?
Probably not, but what's the worst that'll happen? Who else are they going to get to wake up and do this? So, listen. Today, tickets go on sale. This is why I wanted to mention it. Okay? They are having a concert. The concert is on August 30th. It's the 25th birthday bash, and they've lined up a ton of bands. They got the band All That Remains, which is a current, you know, act. Fuel, by the way, when I worked at WQLZ, Fuel is one of the, we probably played that Fuel song. It might have been one of the most played songs that we played during my tenure there. Adelita's Way, Stone Broken, The Stir.
You're talking about.
And, of course, the
You've
the,
always said.
I think this band's a highlight because I love this band. Their song Enemy is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's Fozzy, which is led by Chris Jericho of the WWE. This group of six bands is coming to the BOS, the Bank of Springfield Center, on August 30th. All right? Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. this morning, Craig. Tickets are going to be like $32, I think.
Man, for that many bands, that's great.
But here's a way you can get tickets for $9.77.
What?
You can get...
What?
I'm not joking. You can get a ticket for $9.77.
Oh, dude, I don't know if you're authorized to
do
this.
Because this is the frequency of of WQLZ. If right. you go...
Wow.
If you go to WQLZ.com and you buy tickets, you can use the code BIRTHDAY. B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y. Not birthday. Not B-U-R-F. B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y. Use the code BIRTHDAY and you will get tickets for $9.77.
Wow. That's a steal.
It is insane. But you can do it. You can do it. If you buy today at 10 a.m.
That's a steal.
Yeah. So for those of you longtime listeners of mine who've been fans of mine for 20 years, I thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And you know I love you guys. And I everything I do, I think about you. Don't get me wrong. I love you new listeners too. But for longtime listeners of mine on WQLZ, and you've come over now, for you, I just want to tell you about this. The concert, the 25th birthday bash, goes on sale today. You can use the code BIRTHDAY and save a ton of money on tickets.
Man.
$9.77 ticket.
$9.77.
Also.
For how many bands? Like six bands?
Yeah.
By the way, you know how much that Nine Inch Nails show is up in Chicago?
I have no idea. What's up?
$250
oh
a ticket.
Is that what you guys are paying?
I am not paying that. I that's out of my price range, Trent. I'm going to go to this $9.77 show.
Get $9.77. It's a lot cheaper. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how come the Itchy Pickles aren't playing?
The Itchy Pickles aren't playing because my knees aren't good enough.
Get a stool.
Serious.
No, I'm serious. I can't.
But that's what they have stools for, right?
Dude, I've been offered so many opportunities to play, and I appreciate everybody who's offered me a chance to do a reunion show and all this. I can't. Wait.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law used to hang around with you guys.
I know. I your daughter-in-law's father is a very good friend of mine. He was on the Morning Disaster. But listen, Timmy, listen, I can't. Give me a few months to think about it, and then maybe this fall I'll do something, but I'm pretty much ruling out 2018. But give me some time and I'll get back.
I'll be glad to get you a nice reclining chair.
Thank you. I'm not gonna play rock music in a reclining chair. But thank you, Tim.
You will play rock music in a rocking chair, though.
Yes. No, I won't.
So Timmy, get him a rocking chair.
I won't. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Ray, I'm one of those listeners that came over from QLZ and now listen to you. Now we all kind of grew up, right?
So yeah, thanks, buddy.
I also wanted to say I'm sure going to miss you. I know that today is now you're going to be your last day that you just did this, and I'll be looking for your next show. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Unauthorized. Hey, listen. Coupon.
I know I was unauthorized to do this, but I'm gonna tell you something else. I'm gonna say something else. I know. I 100% I know I'm gonna get yelled at for this, but and I know. And I love the guys at QLZ, but I'm telling you right now, the Morning Disaster is going to return to WQLZ.
Whoa.
I'm telling you right now, on that date, the birthday date, which was August 30th, I don't know who knows or who doesn't, but I'm telling you, on that morning, I will be doing mornings on WQLZ on August 30th.
Is that like an official announcement happening right now? I mean,
well, from me. So, I mean, I'm telling you, on August 30th, on the day when that station celebrates 25 years.
Yeah.
No way around. I will be doing mornings
on
that
station. You're going to go over there and kick down that door and say, Mo, get out of here.
I don't know if they syndicate this show on that one. I don't know how it's going to technically work.
But that you're demanding that happens.
But I'm telling you, on that day, I did mornings on that station for almost, what, like 12 freaking years.
Yeah. It's a big show.
12 years. I've hosted mornings more than anyone else on that freaking station. On that morning, August 30th, I am doing the morning show on WQLZ. The Ray Lytles Morning Disaster will be doing the morning show. And I am going to, and I swear to you, I'm going to call everybody who used to be on that show and invite every one of them back. And we will be doing, Greg, we'll make you a morning disaster member for a day. We will be doing mornings on that station. But I'll tell you what, and Belint, who works at another station, I'll invite him back too. I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this. I plan on doing mornings on that station, WQLZ, on August 30th.
Countdown's on.
The look on your face is
the countdown is on.
I don't know how many. We got months.
And I'm not sure what I'm counting down to. I'm not sure if I'm counting down to August 30th or if I'm counting down to the end of the show today.
When I am fired.
When you're fired. I'm not sure what I'm counting down to yet.
But you got to be with me on this. Come on, man. I did mornings on that station for 12 years.
And it would be a huge nostalgia win.
I was the program director of that radio station. Blood, tears, sweat. I put so much time. I think I made that station great. You know, part of the reason it's still around is because of what I did over there. So, yeah, I think that it makes sense that I do mornings on that station on August 30th. The morning, all the guys from the Morning Disaster and the girls from the Morning Disaster, we do mornings that day. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
So, Ray, what I've heard this morning so far is that there is an Itchy Pickles reunion next January 26th at the center, and we're providing all the production for you.
Yes, that's exactly what I said, yes.
I am sure that's what I heard. So we're looking forward to it. We're doing it pro bono. This is going to be great, man. This is going to be fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. Oh, yep. Man. I'm telling you. So there you go. I just thought I would get that stuff out of the way. And I wanted to give that code to you guys, seriously. Anybody who was a listener of mine on WQLZ, I love you guys, and especially those who we had a guy call in. The ones that stayed with me now, I really appreciate the long-time listening the people have done and from the bottom of my heart. And on August 30th, as they celebrate their birthday, I do mean it. I want to do mornings on QLZ that morning. And I want to bring back the old show. I'm talking everybody but Jimmy, of course. I want to bring everybody back to do, because Jimmy passed away, I want to bring everybody back to do the show that morning. If we can make that happen, it'd be great. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
So, Ray, are we supposed to be betting if you're going to have a job today, or bet if you're going to be back on the radio?
You notice I went from, I guarantee I'll be doing it, to, I hope that I can.
What are the odds?
As I've started thinking about it.
I'm surprised the door hasn't been kicked down
yet. As I started thinking about how angry Harvey Wells could get.
I got $10 say possibly you won't have a job today.
I think I'll be fine. I'm pretty sure I'll be okay.
Well, you talked about gambling earlier. I just figured we'd get the ball rolling.
Thank you, my friend. I'm saying it. I'm really fired up. I love that station. And by the way, I love Mo Lightning and Kyle, all those guys over there now. I think they're fantastic. And I don't want to step on any of their toes. But on August 30th, I will be doing mornings on that radio station. All right. Mo can do afternoons or something on that day. I don't know what to tell him, but
he can fetch my coffee.
The Morning Disaster will return August 30th on the birthday of it's now 97.7.
Yeah.
WQLZ. It was when I was there, it was a different frequency altogether. 97.7. WQLZ, it's our 25th birthday bash. If you want tickets, you guys go to WQLZ.com 10 o'clock this morning, buy tickets, use the code BIRTHDAY, and your $32 automatically becomes a $9.77 ticket, or $9.77 ticket. That's a pretty good deal. So there you go. I just want to take a few minutes to make that announcement.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is calling the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem a, quote, settler outpost. Its relocation, he said, shows the U.S. no longer a credible broker for peace talks. Abbas is also slamming Israel for its use of live fire during mass protests at the Gaza border Monday, but Israel's brushing off that criticism. ABC's Jordana Miller reports from Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Netanyahu is defending the IDF's actions at the Gaza border Monday, saying Israel has a right to defend its borders. The Israeli army reported dozens of Palestinian protesters attacked and tried to breach the security fence at various spots Monday. The IDF says some threw or planted explosive devices. Others opened fire on troops and flew kite bombs. The Palestinian president is condemning Israel for killing at least 60 protesters, calling it a, quote, massacre. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Meanwhile, four U.S. states holding primaries today. Pennsylvania voters will decide the fate of President Donald Trump's pick for Senate 3 months after a court fight ended with redrawn districts. In Idaho, voters will pick their Republican nominee for governor. There are also primaries in Nebraska and Oregon. In Illinois, Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal to bring back the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers raises concerns for those in the criminal justice reform arena. Illinois abolished the death penalty in 2011. Rauner used his mandatory veto Monday to change a House bill dealing with wait times to purchase guns to include bringing back the death penalty for convicted cop killers and mass murderers.
Individuals who commit mass murder, individuals who choose to murder a law enforcement officer, they deserve to have their life taken. They deserve that.
Ed Yonka, the ACLU of Illinois, said to have this push 7 years after the state abolished capital punishment is jarring.
The notion of reintroducing that, you know, as the world and the nation is moving in the opposite direction is really fundamentally a flawed and bad idea.
Yonka said lawmakers should reject the idea. The General Assembly has the option of either letting the bill die, agreeing with simple majorities, or overriding the governor's changes with a supermajority. Factors beyond the city of Springfield's control have led to a budget deficit for the recently completed fiscal year, but the city was able to save $8.5 million off the final number. Springfield finished fiscal year 2018 in February with a final deficit of $2.5 million that'll be covered by cash reserves. City Budget Director Bill McCarty notes, thanks to the works of many people in the city government, they've been able to save money by not replacing outgoing employees.
A lot of folks are really stepping up and working hard to cover a lot of vacant space so that we can delay that hiring and save taxpayer money.
The city did spend $2.6 million in overtime for fiscal year 2018, but much of that expenditure was to do with staffing requirements for police, fire, and public works, as deemed by their union agreements. Public park advocates have filed a lawsuit against the city of Chicago seeking to stop construction of the Obama Presidential Center. The Chicago Sun-Times reports the federal lawsuit by Protect Our Parks Incorporated seeks a court order barring the Chicago Park District and other city agencies from approving the building of former President Barack Obama's center in Jackson Park. A spokesman for Mayor Rahm Emanuel says the center is an opportunity to invest millions of dollars on Chicago's south side. And the foundation that supports the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum is selling a black dress once owned by movie star Marilyn Monroe to repay a loan used to buy artifacts relating to the 16th president. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation is putting 9 items up for auction in Las Vegas June 23rd, including photos of the 1950s movie icon. Julian's Auctions says the wool dress could sell for more than $60,000. The foundation owes about $10 million from a 2007 loan. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY.
In the news, Palestinians in the West Bank have marked the 70th anniversary of their mass displacements with a 70-second siren. People stood at attention and traffic stopped in parts of the city Tuesday to mark that moment, though in some areas the sirens appeared to malfunction and could be barely heard. Palestinians mark May 15th as their Nakba, or catastrophe, when hundreds of thousands of people either fled or were expelled from their homes. Continued strife there today. President Donald Trump heads to the Capitol to give a speech and have lunch with Republican senators. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with the details.
President Trump delivers remarks today at the 37th Annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service. The president's expected to acknowledge the service and sacrifice made by law enforcement officers and pay tribute to those who've been killed or injured in the line of duty. President Trump has designated this day, May 15th, as Peace Officers Memorial Day and called on governors to direct that the American flag be flown at half-staff. The White House will also be lit up in blue this evening. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Now the Supreme Court's overturned a federal ban on sports gambling. When will Illinois make it legal? It's about as much of a bet as any. Not anytime soon. That's according to several lawmakers. They think that the time to get it done is next session. While veto session is a possibility, it's more likely sports gambling will actually be voted on and possibly enacted next year. Pleasant Plains Middle School was evacuated after a note with a bomb threat was found by staff at the school. Students were taken to Farmingdale Elementary School. A sweep of the school turned up empty. We've heard of five Southern Illinois counties formally declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. Well, now, residents in Menard are asking their commissioners to do the same. Proponents of declaring Menard County a gun sanctuary are asking residents to meet with commissioners at the Menard Courthouse in Petersburg at 6 tonight. Illinois Republican Governor Bruce Rauner wants to reinstate the death penalty in the state. Rauner added the provision Monday into gun legislation favored by Democrats, and also some Republicans voted for that bill. The bill now goes back to the Democrat-controlled legislature for approval. Rauner wants to reinstate the death penalty for mass killers and anyone who's convicted of killing a law enforcement officer. The last execution to be carried out in Illinois was 1999. The death penalty was abolished in 2011. And the governor's proposing new fines and potential jail sentences for state and local corruption. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
A bill filed by Republican State Representative Grant Worley on Friday would increase fines for things like failing to disclose business interests to $150,000. Accepting compensation for speaking and accepting compensation for a lawmaker's official duties could put violators in jail for up to a year. Professor John Meixel at Indiana University says this would sway some officials from corrupt behavior.
You're changing the gamble that a person makes when they're deciding whether to be a crook or not.
But he says it's only going after corruption after it's happened. What the state needs is proper financial oversight to keep public money safe in the first place.
You don't get to the place where you have to bring in the punitive measures.
Bribery of a public official is already a federal felony, carrying up to 2 years in prison. I'm Cole Lauterbach.
And after record cold in April, May is turning out to be one of the warmest of all time. We broke a record high for the second straight day and fourth time this month when we hit 93 degrees right before the storms came through. Temperatures will be cooler today. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it. With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal to bring back the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers raises concerns for those in the criminal justice reform arena. Illinois abolished the death penalty in 2011. Rauner used his mandatory veto Monday to change a House bill dealing with the wait times for purchasing guns to include bringing back the death penalty for convicted cop killers and mass murderers.
Individuals who commit mass murder, individuals who choose to murder a law enforcement officer, they deserve to have their life taken. They deserve that.
Ed Yonka, the ACLU of Illinois, said to have this push 7 years after the state abolished capital punishment is jarring.
The notion of reintroducing that, you know, as the world and the nation is moving in the opposite direction is really fundamentally a flawed and bad idea.
Yonka said lawmakers should reject the idea. The General Assembly has the option of either letting the bill die, agreeing with simple majorities, or overriding the governor's changes with a supermajority.
Meanwhile, continuing to push for an income tax rates that are based off how much you make as a way to pay off some of the state's debts and get the state more fiscally stable, the Democratic candidate for governor still mum on what rates should be paid. Billionaire Hyatt Hotel heir J.B. Pritzker stopped in Springfield Monday to talk with small business incubator Innovate Springfield and heard about the need for government stability. But when it came to the idea of what tax rates small businesses and individuals should pay under his progressive tax push, Pritzker couldn't say.
We can only determine what the rates are by virtue of a negotiation with the legislature at the time, what the priorities are in the budget, and then we've got to make it transparent to the voters who ultimately will get to vote on.
Last week, Governor Bruce Rauner said the state's flat tax is one of the state's only positive attributes and a progressive tax is the wrong way to go.
They're going to say it's a millionaire tax. Let's tax the millionaires. We'll watch the businesses flood out. But more importantly, every state that's gone to a graduated income tax, the middle class gets socked. The middle class pays more.
Any change in the state's income tax structure must go before voters at the polls, something that won't happen this November. Lawmakers back in Springfield today with little more than 2 weeks to send the governor a balanced budget with simple majorities. While Rauner has said the process is going slowly, Democratic leaders say that they're on track to send off a budget by the end of the month. Speaking of budgeting, it's been a huge challenge, but the city of Springfield has managed to whittle the $11 million budget deficit down to $2.5 million. City Budget Director Bill McCarty tells WMAY that in order to save $8.5 million, the city has to get creative, especially when it comes to staffing of fiscal officers in the budget office.
And instead of backfilling that position, I pulled one of the other fiscal officers, the library fiscal officer, and had him take over responsibilities here as well. So now we've got one person doing the job that two people used to do.
The city plans to close that $2.5 million deficit with cash reserves while continuing to look for out-of-the-box ways to save revenue. Missouri Governor Eric Greitens declared victory Monday as prosecutors abruptly dropped a felony invasion of privacy charge alleging that he had taken a revealing photo of a woman with whom he was acknowledging he had an affair with. St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office said it hopes to still pursue the case, either through a special prosecutor or an appointed assistant. But Greitens' attorney said the case was crumbling under a lack of evidence and doubted any charge would ever be filed. And Marilyn Monroe's name's typically said in the same sentence with President John F. Kennedy, but her fame may be coming to the rescue of another next month. Julian's Auctions has announced that the Lincoln Foundation is selling off one of Monroe's iconic dresses in Las Vegas June 23rd. The cash-strapped foundation hopes that some of the money will help pay down some of this debt so that they don't have to auction off any of Abe Lincoln's personal effects. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Greg, you excited about doing some sports gambling?
You know, not really. I don't even know how it all works.
You pick a winner.
Like, what about all the odds and stuff?
Yeah, just do the simple pick a winner. 629-7970. Also can text us on the Message Mafia text line. A Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space in your message. Send it over to 68255.
Yeah, who's going to be the bookie, too? That's a big question.
I think the state.
You think it would be a state run? You're not going to have private bookies on street corners with a big chalkboard up on right behind them?
Here's what I'm thinking. All right, and the Supreme Court decision yesterday basically said, It didn't say sports betting it should be legal. It said that they couldn't outlaw, right? Isn't that how it worked?
Essentially, yeah. There was a case out of New Jersey where right. They were wanting to allow sports betting because, let's face it, New Jersey's in the same
Atlantic
boat as
City,
Illinois.
Right.
We're broke. Jersey's broke.
They have Atlantic City, which is a nice gambling mecca. They wanted to add sports gambling.
And they want to get more revenue so they can continue to spend.
Absolutely.
So
pay the bills that they've accrued.
Right. But at the same time, continue to spend. I doubt they're going to control their spending. But essentially, the Supreme Court said, there cannot be a federal ban. So it doesn't mean like sports betting is automatically legal in a state like Illinois.
But what it does is it allows state assemblies or whatever their difference. It allows the state to set up gambling operations.
But what this also does is it changes the atmosphere of pro sports and sports in general.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the pressure's on. It's no longer just about advertising dollars here.
Yeah, you're
It's no longer just
to...
about how many eyeballs you can get on the TV screens or at the actual arenas. Now it's about...
And the leagues are now going to have to really govern themselves to make sure people aren't throwing
absolutely.
Games.
And I think that's the biggest...
And this is not just... All right. This is not just at the pro level. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
For example, I can now, and I don't. Who knows how they're going to set up? The state of Illinois is definitely going to have to jump on this. Of course. Then again, you think they jump on recreational pot because it's a moneymaker.
But it's also an election year.
If you jump on sports gambling and say it can be legalized at these locations, I don't know if it would be at
OTBs,
OTBs or
the
casinos,
riverboats,
or every mom and pop. Slot video machine, gaming. Who knows?
Well, see, I don't know if Illinois would, because Illinois already heard from their riverboats.
I think OTBs would probably.
OTBs and riverboats are probably going to be where it's at, because the riverboats are hurting right now. Yeah. They're showing obvious signs of less revenue because of the video gaming machines that are proliferated all over the place.
So if you could go in and drop. So say here at the OTB in Springfield.
Yeah.
I got the UIS, you know, this is a local team, the UIS Prairie Stars. By the way, I follow their softball team. Mm. I understand their baseball team is doing really good, too. I haven't followed it as close.
They're going to dominate.
But I follow the softball team. They got a game coming up Thursday against Southern Indiana. It's like the playoffs, all right? Mm-hmm. I really wish they get a golf cart, too, to help me get over there and watch the game because my knees are shot. But anyway, okay, so they have a game coming up Thursday. If I could go to the OTB... and say, hey, I want to put $25 on UIS winning this game. That would make, I mean, it just makes everything, I would definitely go to the game. I got to watch it. I got to see who wins to see if I'm going to win my money and blah, blah, blah. It makes it more exciting. It really does. I mean, it really does.
Well, and something else, too.
But here's the other gambling way. You're talking about different ways to gamble. Okay. And the other thing is, okay, I'm going to put a bet on them, but I want them to win by at least so many runs, all right? Like, winning isn't enough. I'm going to pick them to win, but say they're favored by 2 runs. So I'm going to pick them to win, or you could pick the other team, which if they lose by 1 run or less, then you win. Which, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's different ways to bet.
So you essentially, you're forecasting what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm curious if the state is going to try to regulate. You can only bet on pro sports. You can't bet on college.
You can't bet on high school.
Can't bet on Little League.
I don't see that. I don't see betting on high school.
Or betting on kindergarten football.
Hey, I'll take a bet from you right now. You want to bet on some Little League baseball?
Oh, that'd be funny.
Could you imagine someone taking...
Oh, my gosh. Like, there's a bookie out there on the diamond while a bunch of eight-year-olds are running around. But, yeah, this is a newfound era and something that even the Trump administration apparently is not too kind on.
Jeff Beauregard Sessions is not a fan?
They're concerned the decision could signal trouble in its legal fight against so-called sanctuary states and cities.
Sanctuary? What is this? What?
The justices backed that robust reading of the Constitution's limits of the federal government's powers to force states to go along with Washington's wishes. So that's why the Trump administration's a little worried about this.
Here's what I care about. Will I be able to sports gamble? So I'll tell you something. I'm not a very smart guy. But one thing I'm smart on, some sports. I can, I was in Elko, Nevada, and I was down. Greg, I was down. I was down $2,800. And then on the last day there, I said, I'm just going to bet sports. And it was the NCAA basketball conference tournaments. I ended up going home with about $1,300. So not only did I make the $2,800 back, I went above and beyond.
Well, and that's why I think...
I love it. I'm all for it.
Part of the argument is with sports betting and even fantasy sports, all right, and being able to play fantasy sports and bet that way too.
Yeah.
It's not a game of chance. That's part of the argument of why, Why are you allowing for slot machines, which is a total game of chance, when you're not allowing for sports betting, which isn't a game of chance, because you are knowledgeable about X team.
Yeah, because I
watch. You know that X team stats are much better than Y team's stats.
So I would have an advantage over, say, you,
who does not have these skills to watch.
Yeah, I never thought of that. But yeah,
so that's the difference between, you know, chance sports betting or chance betting and wagering versus, you know, actual skill wagering.
You think they go pro only and not do college or?
Yeah, I don't know. College.
I don't see any scenario where high school. I don't think high school will ever be allowed.
Maybe certain even college in
Vegas,
tournaments.
Even in Vegas, you can't bet on high
maybe
school
certain classes of college. Like they have to be. I don't know what all the classes are, but you know, those are who are in the Sweet 16 or whatever, March Madness, those teams. Maybe some of the nationally recognized tournaments.
The NCAA, the big, the Tournament of 64, or what is it now, 68 or whatever? March Madness.
I mean, I could see that possibly. Something with national significance like that. I think that that's about as low down as they should go.
Let me go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Well, I'm not sure what the difference is going to be because where I work at, there's a guy that brings me during college football season. He doesn't watch football, but he knows I watch every Saturday. He brings me sheets so that he can get his 10 bets down, mm-hmm. and then he takes them to some guy. But as far as high school goes, when Gillespie beat Carlinville in 76, 41-2, okay.
You remember that?
Well, I was in the game.
Oh, okay. Okay?
When they beat Carlinville 41-2 and took second in state that year, there were three businessmen in town that came up to me and told me they lost $1,000 or $1,500.
Oh, wow, really?
Betting against Ash and Gillespie. So if you think people don't bet on high school sports, now my senior year we beat them 39-0, so we got our 39 points back, so we were even when I left. But, you know, I mean, like I said, there's a guy that brings me a sheet every week in college football season for me to put my picks down for him.
Hey, listen, a side note about the game you mentioned. The quarterback of that team in Gillespie was my little league coach.
Borgini.
Donnie, yeah. Mr. Borgini, I guess is what they call
it. I was an outside linebacker in that game, starting varsity as a sophomore, and I got my butt kicked all night long.
Thank you, buddy.
By Brummett, Steerwall, Borgini, all of them.
Thank you, buddy. There you go. Yeah. Right. It is interesting. Good morning, you're on WMAY.
Finally, I won't have to pay the VIG when I lose now.
So it's
gonna
be
a lot cheaper. Everybody's got a guy.
Yeah, I know there are guys now, and those are the guys that are gonna be hurting. The guys who are listen, I know several bars right now I could go to and place a bet. I never do.
Absolutely.
But I know of people who take the money. Now, when the state is the guy with the money, the VIG's just gonna be the tax. I mean,
Ray, I trusted my guy to pay up when I won. I don't know if I trust the state to pay up when I win.
You worry, yeah. I'll tell you what.
They weren't paying out
point.
Lottery
Thank
for
you,
a certain
buddy.
Point.
Am I going to get in line behind the dentist and everybody else pay out money too?
If you recall, that's a great point.
That's
the lottery
a really
was not
good
paying
point.
Out for a section of time while the impasse was going
how
on.
How are they going to pay? Is the state going to handle it themselves? Are they going to let the different individual companies do it? I wonder. Oh yes! All right, this is gonna be a show. Oh man. Oh. So let's get it started. 629-7970 is the phone number. Text line is 68255. A Lytle LYTLE space and your text. Send it over to 68255. All right, now let's get the morning song, something to make us feel good. Let's get that one going, and then we got a ton of stuff. We got a ton of things to talk about today.
Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah. Turn the TV off, this bad news, man. Feeling fresh like a Ziploc new man. OJ with a champagne tuna. My muscle hunger goes running through ya. Hell yeah, it's a new hallelujah. Popping like the top off a bottle and I ain't stopping, yeah.
Good, because you should see, I mean, Greg is just bopping in there.
star today. Calling up the ocean, this is it. Has a certain like Kid Rock feel
to
it.
It's a good little thing, is it? It's a good song.
Little mix of the country blues and some hip hop in there.
It's a guy named Max Frost. In the future, now the past can't harm me. Forget about yesterday, Paul McCartney. I'm feeling like a Beatle on stage, and the whole wide world's gonna know my name. It's a very few rap songs where like a piano is the main instrument.
Right. The rest of my life gonna start the day. Good morning. A good morning. A good morning.
The rest of my life gonna start today. Oh, very nice. That's a nice way to start the day, isn't it?
The rest of my life is gonna start today. That's a good outlook.
Max Frost is the guy. Song's called Good Morning. We like that to start the show. It is the Ray Lytle Morning Show. I'm Ray. He's Greg.
Morning.
We are here, and boy, oh my God, we got so many things to talk about. So many things to discuss. Did you
where to start?
Did guys go and count their wives' shoes last night? We're gonna talk about that later. We've got, I gotta start with Trump. I got to start with, I know, I try not to do this, but I got to start with Trump. Greg, 100% they've got to apologize to McCain. This shouldn't even be an issue.
It really shouldn't.
Am I crazy? What in the hell is the Trump administration, what are they doing?
Yeah.
When you're out there saying.
It seems the Trump administration is more upset about leakers than somebody in their ranks
this is easy.
Making these types of jokes.
And to say things like, we refuse to apologize. Oh, my God.
Well,
apologize and move on.
What I've seen is, you know, the White House essentially saying we refuse to acknowledge the leak or any contents of the leak. I didn't see yesterday's press briefing.
Yeah, we refuse to apologize.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to stand up for him here for a second. Even though I don't agree with him, I'm going to stand up for him. They weren't saying that we refuse to apologize because we're also glad that John McCain's dying. No, that's
not what they're saying.
What they're saying is we're so angry at the leaker that we refuse to apologize. Okay,
right.
I get that. However, you are making – this is so bad to not apologize to that man. And by the way, I'm sure he probably doesn't care, but my God, his family.
He does care because, you know, don't come to my funeral.
You've got to apologize.
You don't have to take responsibility in your apology. You can do a very soft-handed, you know.
Well, how about
we apologize that feelings were hurt because of what happened.
We're apologize for what someone in this administration said.
I don't even think they have to go that far.
Boom.
Just say, we're sorry that somebody has had their feelings hurt by what's been perceived to come out of this administration.
We apologize. John McCain is a hero. And one of the finest heroes this country's ever.
You know they're not going to go that far, though.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I mean, this is. Who does?
There's bad blood between McCain and Trump. I mean, that's just obvious.
You don't listen. So you're glad he's dying? That's what it looks like. It looks like you said I couldn't come to your funeral. Screw you. I'm glad you're dying. That's what it looks like. And you can't have
you don't
that.
Like my CIA nominee. Screw you. I'm
glad you're dying.
It
just doesn't look good. And I'm telling you, even I get friends who are big Trumpies. That's what I call them, Trumpies. They're huge Trumpies. Big Trumpies. And they're like, oh, my God, he's got to apologize. Oh, my God. Even they're like, oh, this is horrible. Because these guys, they're very conservative, pro-America, America, yay. You know, they're really, you know. And they love John McCain. I love John McCain. John McCain's a hero, man. You know, when he ran against Obama, it's like you could say, yay, pro-Obama, but you really couldn't say anything about John McCain personally because he's just such a – John McCain's a badass, you know? Isn't he just
he got a reputation for being the so-called maverick.
Yeah,
and
he
being
was.
The maverick in the Republican Party, which
he was the against the swamp maverick guy. You're right.
He wouldn't go along with the traditional party leadership on a lot of issues. And he
calls out the Democrats on
still,
their crap.
But he still does he joins the Republicans to call out the Democrats when he doesn't like what the Democrats are doing, but then he joins the Democrats and calls out the Republicans when he doesn't like what the Republicans are doing.
I think that's
the most recent
admirable.
Healthcare vote was one of those. You know, he refused to show up partly because of ailing health, but also because of the politics of the situation.
Well, he showed up and gave the thumbs down. Remember?
Oh, that's, you know, he did. Yeah, that's right. He did show up. Okay, so
he showed up, gave a thumbs down.
Either way, I mean,
his reasoning was, he said, "I don't want to take healthcare away from people with pre-existing conditions." That was the reasoning. I mean, who can't get behind that?
It definitely added to the bad blood between the administration and the McCain camp.
So now they refuse to apologize. And there's a lot of good things they got going on. I mean, except for the gas prices. A lot of good things going on. Why wouldn't you apologize? It makes the president look petty. It makes him look petty. I don't think it's him. I think it's the administration as a whole has decided not to do anything. Let's take some phones. 629-7970. Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Hey, Ray.
Yes.
Yeah, Trump can do pretty much what he wants to because the base will follow him no matter what. Now, you know, if he hasn't apologized by now, he won't. Rather than
having people come on and act like pundits and make their opinions about everything. But I just want to know, would you apologize? Do you think he should apologize?
Yeah, because that's the gentlemanly thing to do. But see, Trump is not a gentleman. He is a ruthless.
He's the president.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a ruthless businessman. He's probably made tons of enemies, and he's going to make more enemies because that's his M.O., and he's always right. He's got that.
If you're not going to deal with him, then all of a sudden you're going to be on his S list.
Exactly. You're on his. You know, if it's not his way, he has no use for you.
He does business.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, like you said, you know, things are starting to go good, and then he gets in his own way, and he does something stupid, and then you know it overshadows everything else that's going
on. It's just the cycle of Washington. It doesn't matter who's in charge.
You've got to apologize.
Stuff will be going good, and then somebody will say the wrong word, and oh my gosh, the elite media in the Hill, they freak out. They make a big deal out of it.
Listen, I know you agree with me. He's got to apologize.
Well, and he's got to do something about the employee that allegedly made the
fire
comments.
Her.
You know, don't let them step down. Let them step down in a firing with an apology.
Let her.
Yeah.
Do you think Trump doesn't let people quit, though?
He should look at her and say, "You're fired."
Yeah, Trump likes to fire people.
Yeah, he loves that. That's his. That's part of his TV show persona. You know, you're fired.
And he can make this go away, and he could look to the American people like.
But maybe he doesn't want it to go away because that's
because
how
he secretly
feels.
Is glad he's dying because that's what it looks like. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
I mean, it just looks bad. I'm taking it as an optics perception. I mean, come on. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
You know, things that are taken out of context.
This was not taken out of context. This was 100%.
It was a private conversation.
It was a private, and it was not recorded and not meant for public dissemination.
By the way, when they talk about a leaker, there wasn't a leaker. Do you want to know how many leakers they had?
There's a couple of comms people.
They had seven.
several comms people in the meeting confirmed it.
In fact, it wasn't just fake news or any of the usual Trump BS lines. This was, they knew they were busted. Now, there was a rumor that someone recorded it. I don't think they recorded it or we'd have heard it by now.
Seven people
confirmed the leak, and then they even confirmed it. The White House confirmed that it was said.
Yeah, and I still remember, but once again, it wasn't designed to be a public announcement.
No,
it wasn't a public position of the White House.
That's why a simple apology should make it go away. Now, if they apologize and people still keep harping on it, you go, listen, what do you want them to do? They apologize, they moved on.
I think they've apologized for the leak.
But you need to apologize.
We're sorry that this got out.
But you need to apologize for what was said.
For the substance, for the content.
Yes. Instead, they're calling the leaker un-American. And
well,
and listen, that's in your admit. That's not on us. That's on right. You hired the wrong people.
But it's been ongoing with this administration where, yeah. I mean, from day one, where he had a conversation with somebody from a foreign country, and then all of a sudden the entirety of his conversation got leaked to the press.
His
I mean,
people,
that's messed up.
Let me ask you, why his people are the ones that are leaking it. Why is he yelling at the media and everybody else? What? It's not our fault. It's his fault. He can't keep his people in line.
It is sort of a pick and choose day because, let's face it, we didn't make a big deal out of the big effing deal when people had open microphones. We didn't make a big deal out of a lot of things.
We didn't make a big deal when we said.
When we said Ronald Reagan's favorite vegetable was Jim Brady. We didn't.
Or when Obama told the
Russian. Oh my God!
Did they really
say that about Ronald Reagan?
When Obama told the Russian official, I'll have more leeway after the election.
It's a lot about nothing. It really is an annoying thing because they really ought to be focusing on what's wrong and not this kind of petty crap.
I don't think John McCain's petty. And John McCain is a true hero. He's the maverick.
To some people, he is.
Who? Let me tell you, which people think he isn't a hero? Which people think he isn't a hero?
The same people think he was an idiot for hiring Sarah Palin.
But I said, what people think he isn't a hero? Which people think he isn't a hero?
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't.
The people who thought that his presidential run was a debacle.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake he made was Sarah Palin because...
He even acknowledged that.
Because, listen, when he was running, nobody said anything bad about him because he's, you know... And then all of a sudden he brings in Palin, and who did they attack? Sarah Palin. That was a horrible move. But that wasn't him. That was pressure from the Tea Party Republicans. He says in this new book, he says they wanted to bring in Joe Lieberman. And what was Lieberman a...
He was. I think he flipped to an independent.
Was he still a Democrat or was he an independent at that time? He wanted Joe Lieberman to be his vice president, which, by the way, he don't want. I've said that back then, and I say it now. He would have won if he'd have picked Lieberman. So I hate to say it, but
I'm being told the person who said it apologized privately to McCain's daughter. That's a message coming in.
I'm talking about optics with the American people. You gotta apologize, man. It just wouldn't kill Trump. Just apologize. I don't get it. I also don't get people. I don't understand people on this one.
The question, you know, you asked earlier, would you apologize?
Would you apologize?
Yeah, I would because I have a certain sense about me, right?
I 100% would apologize.
I would apologize, but at the same time, I'd also point out, listen, there are other things going on in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Can we stop asking 20 questions, taking up 15 minutes of my 25-minute press conference, asking about this?
Then just apologize. There you go.
It makes it go away. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No, it doesn't. Because then it'll be another 5 days of, well, the Trump administration admitted that they said this, and all of their employees have no heart or soul.
No, I don't
know. I mean, it would just continue the narrative.
No, here's what it looks like. It looks like there are to people that are anti-Trumpers, it looks like, oh, my God, there are heroes in this administration that are willing to risk their lives and jobs in order to leak.
That's what it means. The anti-Trumpers won't be happy until this entire administration is out.
Anti-Trumpers right now are looking at those leakers as some kind of heroes. The leakers aren't heroes.
No, they're not.
The heroes, John McCain, a bad thing was said about him. Just apologize and move on and get to talking about the real substantive things. I mean, this is where they're screwing up. I'm telling you, this is a huge error on the Trump administration. Just apologize and move on.
I don't think it would satisfy people.
Last call. Hello.
Yeah. Now the president's wanting to go after the leakers, which, you know something, these leakers, if you're the president, you should be able to demand the loyalty of your people.
I agree.
But that being said.
Stop hiring bad ones.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get it over with. And I'm sorry, I should never have said it. And you know what? They made a monster out of a molehill here. It would have went away in a day, and it would have been
done.
Yes. Thanks, man.
To be honest, here's the truth. This is something that was said, although it was horrible, it should have been said, and we should have never known about it.
Yeah.
because I'm sure things have been said that
somebody should have been reprimanded right there on the spot.
Yes, but they didn't. And that infuriated the other people, and they leaked it. People that he hired leaked it. Now, me, when I had big staffs, if any of this crap was gone, of course, we didn't say anything that ever was leaked.
Oh.
But if I ever had anybody that worked for me that leaked something that was private, like, for example, when I had a big staff when I was over across the hall, right? And we were planning on doing a big bit, and somebody in my staff called somebody that worked at another radio station, and they stole the bit and ran with it a day earlier. Oh, my God. They'd be gone like that immediately. You don't screw around. And the longer they're letting this drag, the longer a story it becomes. This story, it should have been leaked, came out. We said, hey, listen, we're angry that this was leaked out. This is not how we do business. By the way, we apologize to John McCain. This was a private meeting that no one was supposed to know about. It was a bad joke, blah, blah, blah. That's how you do it. And then it goes away. Now it's going on, what, 5 days? How long has the story been around?
God, you've spent a good 25 minutes on it so far this morning.
Well, because I'm the worst of the God blessed media. There's no one worse than Ray Lytle.
Blasting it out across the country.
Yeah.
Take it. You are driving the agenda, Ray Lytle.
Yeah, that's my goal. I'm telling you, this thing should have been dead and gone.
Well, I don't know if that's the right terminology to use here. Well, I'm here, Ray.
But it should have been.
How dare you? How dare you have no heart, Ray, using a dead and gone joke talking about McCain.
It should have been. And now it's going on day number what? This is a day five, six. It's a huge error.
Let's have some betting going on here, sports betting. It's just been legalized by the Supreme Court.
Oh, that's our next thing. I'm ready to make some money.
How many days you want to bet it's going to continue? Another 5 days? Got $5 on another 5 days.
I hope they apologize today and we talk about something else. Okay. I really do. I think
you're shooting for just one more day.
I'm thinking they're going to apologize. I think Sarah Sanders will say something today.
Was it Raj up there yesterday?
Yeah, which is weird because she was leaked. They leaked her meeting where she was yelling at him. And then they leaked what she said to him.
Well, maybe that was purposeful. You know, maybe that was because there are certain leaks that you don't want to have happen, and then there are other leaks that are very strategic. Look, just ask James Comey. You know, he had a strategic leak.
Right.
He doesn't call it a leak, but he had a strategic leak that he said was strategic.
Yeah, he said.
He doesn't call it a leak,
though. I don't know. I know that Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to yell at them all. That got leaked, too. So maybe it's time to put her back up there and apologize and move on. That's what I think they should do.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, one of Springfield's finest suffered a broken leg when he was hit by a car Monday morning. It appears that the officer may have been intentionally hit, as witnesses say the car veered toward the officer while he was finishing up a call on East Pine. Police have suspects, but no arrests at this time. Meanwhile, Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal to bring back the death penalty for certain crimes is getting mixed reviews, but criminal justice reform advocates worry it's more politics than policy. Rauner's call for the death penalty, which Illinois abolished in 2011 to be reinstated for cop killers and mass murderers, was part of his rewrite of a bill that extended the wait time for buying guns. Jennifer Volen-Katz, the executive director of Prison Reform Watchdog and Criminal Justice Reform Advocate John Howard Association, said that this goes against some of the strides Rauner's made in the criminal justice reform space.
This is really unfortunate. It seems like the kind of proposal that is designed for politics, not policy, and it will not benefit the people of Illinois.
Republican State Representative Keith Wheeler said the death penalty aspect is balanced policy, not politics, and will be an important tool for prosecutors.
At least for negotiation purposes, for other ways that they can make our counties safer. That's an important tool to have back in the discussion.
The sponsor of the bill that Rauner injected the death penalty into didn't return messages seeking comment. While incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner is urging candidates to take a pledge not to support longtime House Speaker Michael Madigan next year, Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker wouldn't. Governor Bruce Rauner last week at the Kemp Forum in Chicago said anyone being elected to the Illinois House should sign two pledges, one to support a term limits ballot question for voters to decide on, and then another.
I promise to vote for somebody, anybody, other than Mike Madigan to be speaker after 35 years, because there's no reason that one person should stay in power for more than 30 years.
Asked in Springfield Monday if he's support a similar pledge for future state reps, Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker said while he supports term limits on legislative leaders, he's focused more on changing how political maps are drawn.
I think Democrats will win if you give us the opportunity to win in districts that are today drawn specifically for Republicans. And I think Republicans will have a chance to win in districts where, you know, they haven't been winning before.
Voters will decide who's governor in November. One of the Democratic billionaire Pritzker's biggest critics during the March primary has turned a new leaf. Evanston State Senator Daniel Biss announced that he would be supporting the Chicago heir to the Hyatt Hotel's fortune in his race against Republican Bruce Rauner this November. Biss's campaign said repeatedly that Pritzker's wiretap conversations with now-jailed former Governor Rob Blagojevich and his tax havens in the Caribbean should disqualify him from the race. Illinois is in the middle of the pack of all states when it comes to problems associated with drug use, according to consumer finance website WalletHub. Illinois ranked number 27 overall from data WalletHub compiled, like arrest and overdose rates to opioid prescription and meth lab incidents per capita. It was a mixed bag for Illinois' neighboring states. Missouri ranked number 2, while Iowa ranked number 50. And Pasta House, coming back to Springfield, the St. Louis-based restaurant chain that's up and ended until about 2012, was in the old Fuddruckers on Southwest Plaza Drive and Veterans Parkway. It'll now be open at the old Denny's restaurants in the southwest corner of White Oaks Mall. Pasta House aims to open by the end of the year. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.